We are right in the thick of spooky season this time of year, but for some people, the fascination with ghosts and spirits isn't limited to Halloween. Paranormal investigators search for evidence of the supernatural year-round, and it's become a popular genre on television, with shows like Ghost Hunters now on Travel Channel and Discovery Plus.
On this episode of Ghost Hunters,
there's something standing right there.
The Rialto Theater here in Joliet, Illinois.
They seem to see a little boy. Kevin?
This is a boy who was hit by a vehicle in front of the property.
Do you see anything moving around us?
The crew member came up and was moving his stuff around.
I had my skirt pulled walking down aisle 5 back there.
Is your name Kevin?
Kevin?
We're looking for you.
I just saw something walk.
There's something big out there.
This place is crazy.
Whether you believe in ghosts or not, our search for evidence of the haunted reveals something about ourselves and about our culture. Our next guest embedded himself in the paranormal investigator community to learn more about what ghost hunters actually do and why they do it. We want to hear what you think at 800-642-1234. Do you watch any of the Ghost Hunter shows? What do you think of them? And why do you think people are so fascinated by the things we cannot see? And if you could talk to a ghost or spirit, would you want to? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Mark Eaton is an associate professor of sociology and the chair of the sociology and anthropology department at Ripon College. He's the author of the book Sensing Spirits, Paranormal Investigation, and the Social Construction of Ghosts. Mark, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
When we talk about paranormal investigators or ghost hunters, what specifically does that entail? How would you describe what they do?
The general principle is that they are searching for evidence of the existence of spirits and or an effort to communicate with those spirits. So that's typically done through technologies of various sorts, like the ones that are often featured on those shows that you just mentioned, ghost hunters and things of that nature. Or for people who believe that they have the ability to contact spirits through extrasensory means, oftentimes it's as simple as just sitting in a dark room and trying to open up for communication. So there's a variety of different ways that people do it, but those are the two main styles, I guess I would say.
Well, you're a sociology professor, so how did you get involved in researching ghost hunters?
Actually, through those shows. As a graduate student, I needed a diversion from what I was doing at the time, and watching ghost hunting shows was pretty exciting. So I initially watched them for entertainment, but then, of course, started to think about them from a sociological perspective and thought it was fascinating to wonder why people search for evidence of ghosts, how they went about doing that, how they made sense of what they experienced during those investigations in terms of knocks on the floor or a feeling of their hair being tugged or things of that nature. And then ultimately, kind of the bigger questions that we have in terms of what happens after we die, and is there a possibility of some form of life beyond physical death? And for all of those reasons, I found it just increasingly fascinated and decided to go ahead and study it by actually just investigating with the investigators.
What are some of the common characteristics or themes that you saw with the investigators you spent time with? I guess, did you get a sense of the motivation behind their work? I would imagine it varies from person to person.
Yeah, it does vary from person to person, but there are trends as well. Most commonly, the people who I investigated with and interviewed had some kind of experience, oftentimes in their childhood, where they believed that they had been in the presence of a spirit. Not all of those people identified as sensitives, but were simply people who were certain that they had had an experience in their childhood or perhaps in their, you know, young adulthood or even later in life that they couldn't explain through ordinary means. And so that unanswered question was a motivation for a lot of people. For other people, it wasn't necessarily that they had personally had an experience, but they had been raised in a family where believing in ghosts or telling stories about ghosts or telling stories about places in their community that were allegedly haunted was part of their upbringing, and it became a fascination that they wanted to investigate. In some cases, people got motivated by the loss of a loved one, and they found themselves trying to find some sort of proof that that person wasn't completely gone or that they could communicate with them. So those are kind of, I guess, the sort of beginning motivations. As people got involved, their motivations changed as to why they actually continued. But in terms of why they got involved in the first place, that kind of is the majority of the cases.
We're talking with Ripon College sociology professor Mark Eaton about his research into paranormal investigators and why they investigate ghosts. Do you have an interest in the paranormal? There's time for your story, too. Join in at 800-642-1234. What are some of the methods that ghost hunters use to investigate the paranormal? What stands out to you about their methods and how they conduct these investigations?
Yeah, and that's an interesting question because I think it has been informed to a large degree by the TV shows. The most dominant way people go about investigating, at least the people that I interviewed and investigated with, which seemed to be representative of the subculture as a whole, was sort of technology heavy and a kind of science oriented approach to investigating. So sometimes thousands of dollars worth of equipment being brought into these locations that are alleged to have had spirit activity, things from, you know, electromagnetic frequency readers to cameras with night vision, motion detectors, vibration detectors, barometric pressure sensors, you name it. So that tends to be the most dominant way of investigating. And with that comes also a sort of mindset of skepticism, or a desire to make an effort to debunk as many claims as possible, which is oftentimes sort of surprising to people who don't know a lot about the subculture, that there's an emphasis on disproving many reports of ghostly activity through finding natural explanations for it, things like black mold or high electromagnetic frequency coming off of various electronics in a home. And attempting to essentially separate the wheat from the chaff until you're left with things that you can't explain through natural means. So that's the primary kind of dominant way of investigating. But there is a secondary trend within the subculture, which is people who believe that they have various ways of engaging with spirits through extrasensory means, whether it's hearing them or seeing them or feeling their presence or sensing their emotions, or in some cases, feeling as though the spirits can actually sort of occupy their bodies for a period of time. And in those cases, people aren't so much going in looking for evidence of ghosts because they feel as though they already know that kind of intrinsically through their bodies and through their minds, but rather they're looking to establish a connection with those spirits, trying to see what they want, see if they can help them cross over. So their methods differ quite a bit from the people who are technology heavy, and they tend to not come in with the skeptic mindset so much.
I'm curious about the TV shows that you mentioned. How accurate is what we see on TV? When we're watching Ghost Hunters or other programs, we see these practices that that the investigator practices. How does that compare to real life investigations who do it without cameras recording everything for broadcast, things that you've seen yourself?
Yeah, it's there's an interesting sort of relationship between the TV shows and the actual investigation teams, because many of the people that I interviewed and investigated with were inspired by the TV shows initially to get involved in this practice, maybe to create their own team or to Google and find out that there was a team in their area that they could join. So the TV shows are similar to the forms of investigation that I participated in and observed. In part, I think, because the TV shows were the inspiration for kind of how to investigate correctly to some degree. So the technologies and the efforts to find rational explanations and some of the sensory or rather sensitive practices, those are similar in some ways to what you see on TV. One thing I would say is a big taboo within the subculture that's represented a lot by shows like Ghost Adventures, for example, is the provoking strategy, the effort to attempt to get spirits to harm someone or attempt to anger spirits to get them to act out in ways that, you know, you can capture on audio or video or capture on your own body through scratches or getting pushed down or whatever. Some people in paranormal investigation teams do that thing or do those things, but by and large, what I found is that that effort is seen as disrespectful to spirits. Many people I talked to said, you know, if this was your grandma who was haunting this home, you wouldn't want somebody coming in and yelling those things at her. So why would we go in and do that? So the provoking and the kind of outlandish behavior and the thrill-seeking behavior that happens on some of the TV shows is really more taboo within the subculture. But the technologies and the kind of mediumistic efforts to communicate with spirits are present in the subculture.
So interesting, Mark. We're talking to Ripon College sociology professor Mark Eaton about his research into paranormal investigations and why we seek evidence of the supernatural. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you could talk to the dead, would you? And who would you want to talk to? What questions would you have? And what questions do you have about this, about paranormal investigators and the fascination with ghosts and spirits? Call us, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue this conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Shereen Seward in for Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up the conversation with Mark Eaton. He is a sociology professor at Ripon College, and he's with us today to share his research into the world of paranormal investigators and why people are on the hunt for the evidence of ghosts and spirits. We'd like to hear from you, too, at 800-642-1234. What do you think of ghost hunters and the shows about them? What questions do you have for our guest about why and how people investigate the paranormal? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Mark, I'd imagine that you're often asked whether you believe in ghosts. It's got to be a common question for you. But I'd say the concept is a little more complicated than that. And your book title has an interesting phrase, social construction of ghosts. Can you explain what that means exactly?
Yeah. So my kind of angle on the topic is that I'm neither attempting to prove the existence of ghosts or definitively debunk the existence of ghosts or in any way attempt to deride or demean people who do believe in ghosts. As a sociologist, I'm kind of trying to stand on the margins, I guess you could say, of paranormal investigation and examine it, as objectively as you can, I guess, as a human and as a participant in it, a participant observer in it, I should say, as a researcher. So, you know, the idea of social construction is that things may not have an objective reality to them, or they might have an objective reality to them, but it's how we as individuals and we as groups engage with the idea of something that can make it real in its consequences for people. So the idea of social construction of ghosts, I guess, is multifaceted, but one aspect of it is that the ghosts that are believed to inhabit certain spaces are kind of made real, regardless of whether you believe that they objectively are present in the sites or you completely, you know, don't believe in the notion of spirits at all. People who do go in and investigate for ghosts kind of engage in processes that make those spirits real, at least in the moment, through asking for proof of their existence by calling out by name people who they believe are haunting these sites, and attempting to engage with them essentially as people without bodies, as some of the people that I interviewed referred to them as. And so ghosts are real in a social constructionist sense, whether or not they're objectively real in some sort of, you know, larger sense. And then the social construction of ghosts also gets back to some of the kind of cultural ways that we engage with ghosts, like especially around this time of year, ghost stories, TV shows, the paranormal investigation shows that you've mentioned already in the show. All of those kind of maintain our fascination with the idea of ghosts and to some degree add some credibility to the possibility, at least, that ghosts exist. And so the concept of ghosts is, I guess, what I'm engaging with in my research is how do we believe in ghosts and how do we put those beliefs into action, both as individuals and in these paranormal investigation teams?
We have a caller. Mark is with us from Bloomer. Mark, hi. Thanks for calling.
Okay. I was a total skeptic. I've not one who is on the fringe at all. I'm a pretty level-headed guy. My wife and I are sitting in the living room, and the only light in the house that was on was a lamp across the way. We were watching TV. Snap. You hear the lamp turn off. But 3 seconds later, snap. You hear, see the lamp turn back on. Power didn't go out because the lights in the, or the TV stayed on. I can't explain it. We hear footsteps up in our, in the room next door to us. It's her and me and our baby at the time, and he didn't walk. We were in bed. I don't get it. Is it, is this like normal? Does this stuff like happen and people just don't recognize it or what?
I don't know. What do you, Mark, what do you have about what Mark said about this? I mean, somebody who's a skeptic and then they hear all this stuff. How do you explain all of that?
Yeah, and that certainly resonates with a lot of the people I spoke to who got involved in paranormal investigation, was that they were skeptics. Some of them were born and raised as believers, but a lot of people weren't until they had some experience that they couldn't explain, sort of like the caller Mark mentioned, you know, sitting in their house and they hear footsteps or doors opening and shutting or lights going on and off, or even things more dramatic than that, waking up to see some, you know, red-eyed entity sleeping next to them or something. I heard some pretty wild stories in my interviews. And so, you know, the short answer is I don't have an explanation for those things. I also, I respect the people who claim to have had those experiences, because in most cases, there's no effort to monetize that or to make a name for yourself on the basis of that. Because, you know, the reality is that although statistically a majority of Americans on various surveys report that they do believe spirits can haunt homes or that you can communicate with the dead, it's still very much a stigmatized belief in our society, right? People who, adults at least, who say that they believe in ghosts oftentimes are sort of laughed at, or they're considered gullible, or people try to tell them why they're wrong. So, you know, it's not until you have someone come along and say, you know, I don't think you're crazy, that someone will open up about the types of experiences like the caller had. So, you know, as I said, the short answer for that particular event is I don't know what caused that. I can't say definitively, but it certainly resonates with a lot of the reasons why people got involved in paranormal investigation in the first place.
We have time for another call. I'd like to take Kathy in Hills Corners. Kathy, thanks for calling in.
Well, thank you.
What kind of...
My comment is I absolutely would love to talk to a ghost. I think that would be a wonderful experience. I would not be fearful at all. And the reason I think that most people are interested in ghosts is because we're all searching for the answer to what happens after we die. Mm-hmm. And if we can talk to a ghost and it's a verifiable thing, we would know.
Sure. Kathy, thanks for that. And Mark, is that kind of what you hear from people? I mean, you talk about, you make the case that this is a deeper and more meaningful process than, you know, than perhaps even what you see on TV. And what do you think about that?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think that it is a more meaningful process for a lot of people. You know, the TV shows tend to understandably make it look like a sort of thrill show. But for the people that do it, a lot of them get a kind of deep spiritual meaning from it. So there's a variety of kind of religiosities among paranormal investigators, but most of them are in some way, shape, or form religious. Some are deeply religious. Some were raised in a tradition and kind of drifted away from it. And for some, actually, the investigation itself brings them back to some sort of spirituality that they were largely distant from by the time they started investigating. And kind of getting to the caller's point, you know, several of the people that I interviewed and investigated with said something along the lines of, you know, when I went to church, I had to have faith, but when I do this, I get to have proof. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really powerful, you know, that people are searching for that answer to the question. And sometimes some people are satisfied with answers that are rooted in faith, but a lot of people are looking for something that they feel is more tangible than that. And paranormal investigation provides people one avenue by which they feel like they might be able to make direct contact with something that proves to them that there's some form of consciousness, there's some form of personality, a person basically that exists beyond physical death. And if that exists for the person who's haunting this property, then it could possibly exist for you or for your loved ones, right? So there's a lot to be said for the spiritual significance of paranormal investigation, certainly.
We have about a minute left in our time together, and I wanted to touch on something that you write about in your book. You say that paranormal investigation is really marginalized by the mainstream scientific and religious communities. What effect does that have on the people participating in ghost hunting? Is it daunting for them?
I think it is. I think it's a challenge that in some ways they also embrace. Many people that I spoke to perceive paranormal investigation as a kind of pioneering scientific effort, right? That maybe right now it's marginalized, and maybe right now they haven't found the kind of smoking gun, irrefutable proof of the existence of ghosts. But they're confident that with the latest technologies and what might be coming down the road in 5, 10, 15 years, that they might be able to finally be the people who definitively prove that there's some form of life or some form of consciousness that exists beyond death. Sure. And to the extent that happens, they continue to be motivated by that desire to advance science rather than simply be rejected by it.
Mark, I want to thank you for joining us today. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you as well.
Mark Eaton is an associate professor of sociology and the chair of the sociology and anthropology department at Ripon College, with us today discussing paranormal investigations and his book, Sensing Spirits, Paranormal Investigation, and the Social Construction of Ghosts. I'm Shereen Seward, and for Rob Ferret, you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.